my fellow confused and probably hungover 20-somethings, and welcome back to Navigating Your 20s, a podcast pointing you in the wrong direction with me, Kate Whittaker. Time for more drunken chats on the mishaps and mind boggles of adulthood, from the time you left your passport in a toilet in Prague to the time you got fired twice. So grab a beer, even if it's 10 a.m, and let's roll the titles. Today, I am so excited to be joined by the very talented Anna Marie, presenter and creative entrepreneur. She hosts interviews, live events, and has her very own music talk show, Live with Anna Marie. Hello, my darling.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. As all right as you can be during a pandemic, you know. It's wearing thin now, yeah. Isn't it? I miss the pub a lot.
Yeah, I do miss going out for happy hour. I do miss shaking a leg in the club. But yeah. Hey, what can you do?
Yeah, literally. I feel that completely. Today we're chatting all about that dreaded quarter-life crisis. We're just going to banter about what it is, what triggers it, and most importantly, how we get through it. And is it actually a good thing? And how do we use it to step up and become a badass? So Anna, just before we start, just tell us all about your presenting work and your talk show Live with Anna Marie, because it's all pretty sick.
Thank you. So started presenting 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I just started doing random Vox Pop videos on YouTube, going around asking people random questions. Well, presenting was something that I've always wanted to do since I was young. I knew that I wanted to be on TV.
Yeah.
I wanted to do news initially, so I wanted to be a news reporter. So I went to uni to do politics, so I could be a political correspondent.
Nice.
But second year, I realized that this isn't for me. That career. So that's how I ended up doing the YouTube content, because I just had a lot of freedom to create what I wanted to, and then started hosting events, and yeah, it's literally been growing from there to the point now where I've launched my own talk show, like you mentioned, called Live with Anna Marie, which is a music show mostly for emerging artists. So I had to kind of give them a platform where they can show off their skills, but in a cool house party setting. I was really inspired by like 106 and Park and like Top of the Pops and you know, those kind of music shows.
Yeah.
In there with Jules Holland. I really, really like
those. I love Jules Holland. I've seen him live. He's sick.
I've never seen him live.
It's so good.
Yeah, I think he's incredible. And I wanted to create something, but for people our age, people who, you know, just young and want to have fun, but probably don't have access to go to BBC studios all the time or to go to TV in New York to see live performances. So yeah, that's where the idea stemmed from, and that's kind of what I'm focusing on now.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. I really love the idea. It's such a nice idea. So that's Live with Anna Marie, if you missed that, guys. But yeah, I'll post like a little link on my Instagram page so you can go and check it out. But yeah, so let's get started. So the midlife crisis, as we know, has always been a thing. But I think now more and more people are recognising the quarter-life crisis, including psychologists, scientists. There's like books and films on it. There's a whole Wikipedia page on the quarter-life crisis if you fancy having that as a read, guys. So how would you define the quarter-life crisis then? What even is it?
Well, I would say, from my personal point of view, it would be a defining point in your life before you turn 25, where you realize, oh, shit, what am I doing with myself? What is going on in my life? Like, who do I want to be? And then you just kind of take a moment to reevaluate everything that you thought you knew. And it can either make or break you. I think like it makes people, it breaks you. It definitely does break you, but it does break you afterwards. And it can be quite daunting because you realize I'm not a kid anymore. I've got responsibilities. Like, I'm a grown adult.
Yeah.
And it can be a bit frightening because it's like, oh, damn, I've got to change or, you know, I've got to be earning more money. There's so many different thoughts that go through your head. but definitely like a pivotal moment in your early life.
Yeah, for sure. I was really curious as to what like the definition of it was, so I had a Google, and according to many websites, it's basically defined as a period of intense soul searching and anxiety over the direction and quality of one's life. And this is a mind-blowing statistic. According to The Guardian, it affects 86% of millennials, which is basically most of us, I would say. And I wouldn't be surprised if over time, with this increase in productivity culture, that number increased. So how would you describe it then? How does it feel for those who have perhaps not yet gone through it, or for those who are going through it and just want clarity?
I would say for me, I was approaching my 25th birthday and I just kind of was like, what?
Yeah.
I just had a moment of like, oh, I don't know. But I definitely was anxious a lot because I felt like, I think for both of us being presenters, it's kind of hard to, well, not hard to break into the industry, but to get like the bigger jobs that we would want.
Yeah.
It's a longer journey.
Yeah.
So definitely thinking about that and thinking about, you know, am I on the right path? Am I choosing the right career? How am I going to get to where I want to get to? And then things like financially, I do want to move out of my parents' home, but you know, I can't do that at the moment because I'm chasing this presenting dream, which isn't quite paying me just yet.
For sure, yeah.
I'm also working part-time, which isn't paying me enough to move out. And then just having so many different thoughts and, you know, just evaluating who I am as a person and, you know, the way that I handle situations, really looking inwards and being like, maybe I'm not that great of a person. Maybe I was a shitty friend in that moment, or you know, maybe I could have handled the situation a little bit better. And then everything just started coming to the forefront. It was quite a sad time, actually.
Yeah.
Emotionally, because I was like, oh my God, thinking of so many things negatively. But then I think once I hit 25, I started to realize that I started journaling and, you know, spending more time with myself and just thinking, just taking time to be like, you know what, this is like the start of my life technically, because a lot of people who are older than me say that life starts at 30, you know. And I always thought that I've known it all and I've been pretty good in life, you know, I've not gotten into any kind of trouble, I've always had a job and things like that, but I feel a lot more confident in myself now that I'm gonna get to where I want to get to, even though I have it all now, but it takes time, and there's a lot in, before we get to career development, there has a lot to do with like personal development and emotional development that needs to happen before I can even achieve the things that I want. So I'm a lot more relaxed now.
Good.
I'm months into my 25th year. I'm not sure, but I'm going to be 26. I'm going to be 26 in September. And it's not as daunting because I've crossed that mark.
Crossed the quarter. Yeah, I've been there, done that. Yeah, you've done the hard part now. It's upwards from here on out.
So just moving towards 30, really.
Yeah, which is where life begins. So you're ready to start life. Yeah, for sure. And I think it's really interesting because at this age, no one's life is in the same place. We're all going at different paces and we're all doing different things. And it's so interesting where you can be in a room with someone and you might have a friend that's, you know, engaged to their, you know, childhood sweetheart, but then you might have a friend that's literally never been in a relationship, and neither of those things are the wrong thing, but they're so different to each other, and it's really hard to not compare yourself to other people when, because you're all in different places, and it's not about that, it's about what you're doing, and what you're doing isn't wrong or, you know, behind, it's just different, and it's really hard to register that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that's something that I had to come to terms with, because a lot of my school friends like had 9-to-5s. Some of them were getting married and like getting mortgages with their boyfriends and having nice cars and going on holidays every year, and I'm like, I can't even afford my Oyster card. So things like that really put me on edge, because I'm like, why, like, everyone my age seems so much more successful. But then, you know, just coming to terms with, yeah, we're all on like different journeys, we're all like doing different things in our life, so it's
Yeah, I
fine.
completely agree. And it's so weird, isn't it? Because I think social media is obviously such a big thing now, and we're all on it, and we all compare ourselves, and we don't admit that we seek validation from it, but we all kind of do. And I think it's so hard not to compare yourself to people when you're constantly being blasted with, you know, people having nice cars and nice jobs and nice cocktails, and it's all just a bit of a subtle competition, I find.
For me now, I kind of want to use, as much as I'm going to post like my positives, people say it's a highlight reel. I definitely want to post more like real stuff and like when things aren't going so good. That's kind of why I'm like starting to vlog now, so I can be a bit more transparent and show that, you know, this journey isn't easy as much as it's fun. And yeah, I might get great opportunities along the way, but there are other times when I don't, and there are other times when I am like having periods of doubt, or I'm sad, or you know. And I think we definitely need more of that on the internet, because it's exhausting, like the imperfection over and over again. It's like, just show me something real, just
Yeah,
be real.
literally. Yeah, people never post, do they, when they're sat in their pajamas eating pasta out of a pan, watching like Friends? Like, why do people not post that? That's great material, great content, and realistic as well. So, what do you think triggers this whole quarter life crisis thing? Do you think it's enhanced by this kind of modern day way of living that we've got, and this whole kind of productivity culture that is very much glamorizing being busy and being stressed and wanting to have it all and do it all? And
You're starting to be more independent, like in the world of work, and then you realize, oh, wait, there is, like, how do I do this now? And yeah, I think that can affect a lot of people if you're not prepared for.
Yeah, I think education is such a bubble, isn't it? And I don't think anything will ever prepare you for entering the real world. And I think because these days more people stay in education longer, I think we're less prepared for the reality of how hard it is to like land the dream job. Because I remember quite naively thinking that I would graduate and then, you know, a week later get my dream job and that would be it. I just genuinely thought that's what happens. Because I wanted it, so therefore I was going to get it, surely. And then obviously it's not that easy, and that's not because you're shit. It's just because, you know, landing a dream job takes years.
I've had to come to terms with that, with presenting. I've had to like explain that to my parents as well, because they also expected, because I was so adamant about like what I want to do, and I want to be a presenter, I want to be on TV. So they just kind of like let me do whatever I want to do. But because I'm not yet on television, I haven't really, you know, broken that wall down just yet. For them, it's kind of like, so what's going on here?
Yeah,
But now they
classic.
understand, like I've had to explain to them that, you know, it's a journey, like I'll get there. There are plenty of people trying to be what I'm trying to be, so
Yeah,
it will take
it's so
some
true.
time.
Yeah, it's
But
so true.
definitely before my 25th, that added to the pressure as well of like quarter life crisis.
Yeah, literally, because you just assume that by the age of, you know, I don't know, 24 or something, you'll just have this perfect life. And I don't think you ever really achieve the perfect life, because there's always going to be something that you want, or something that's annoying you, or something that makes you feel a bit like weighed down. And I think because, going back to the education thing, because we leave uni in such high levels of debt, which again isn't our fault, that's just life, it's expensive, thanks government. I think, you know, because people don't take this post-uni blues seriously, it is really hard. And because you have so much debt, it's harder to, you know, buy a house or get an expensive car, because you're just in so much debt, you're skint for like a good 6 years.
I haven't actually started paying back my student loans,
Oh,
though.
same.
I don't know. I don't know when I'm gonna do that. I think I got a letter from student finance like a couple of months ago, and it was like, you owe something like 30 something thousand, and I was like, oh,
Oh, it's
you're not getting
laughable.
that
Good luck getting that back, pal. Maybe when I'm
back.
dead. I think so. It's LinkedIn that actually found, which is really interesting, that job frustration and dissatisfaction is actually the biggest trigger of the quarter life crisis, which is really, really interesting. What do you think about the whole job frustration in your 20s? I guess it goes back to, you know, it actually being a lot harder than we think to get that dream job in the dream company.
I definitely think society, yes. I think we do live in a world of making money and being successful and achieving many, many things. Especially, I think our generation, like us millennials, I hate saying millennials, but millennials, a lot of us are quite entrepreneurial. We are go-getters, and we want to be financially independent, and we want to do better than our parents, essentially. So there is a lot of pressure. It also comes from school. Like, I think, well, the school that I went to, they really pushed us to achieve, like excel, like get the A's and go to the Russell Group unis. And it was kind of like there was no other option, which later on in life can affect you when you realize that, oh, there are other options, and you're not so used to getting. Because in the real world, there are no A's and A stars. Like, they don't even use that system anymore. I think it's like ones and twos or
Yeah, I
something
don't
like
get the whole one. I got a one. That sounds terrible. Why,
Yeah, I
what?
don't know what that is. But getting the best grades, you there's not that in the real world. Like, when you work a job, that there's no one praising you every day or pushing you to do the best. You just got to do your job, and if you don't do your job well, then you get fired or things like that. But then also, I think, like, psychologically, I think in us, I think the brain, I'm not sure, don't quote me on this, but I feel like the brain starts to mature at 25, or was it
Is it?
29, something.
It's quite late, isn't it? It's definitely 24, 25, I think. Like, it's later than you kind of think it would be.
Yeah, the brain, your brain naturally just kind of clicks, and then there's a moment where you become a different person, you start to mature. I think for men, it's a little bit later, like
Yeah.
2 years later. But for women, we are a lot more mature, I think, from a younger age.
Yeah.
And our biological clock
Yep.
starts ticking.
Yeah. So much pressure. It's interesting what you say about education and this whole A stars thing, because I didn't realize this until after I graduated, but I realized I'd based a lot of my self-worth and this idea of success I had in my head based on the grades I got. And all the way through school, because I was always quite academic and always, got the A stars, that for me was like a reassurance that I am, where I need to be in life. I'm getting the A star, therefore everything's fine. And as soon as I didn't have that to cling on to, and I wasn't getting like a little, well done, Kate, nice one, tick, 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 I was like, oh my God, I'm failing, I'm failing. It's like, no, you're not. It's just that there's no adult patting you on the head going, good job, because you are the adult now. It's so weird.
There's no curriculum, there's no grade scheme to tell you like how to navigate life. And then I think you come to a moment, like, once you've left university, probably, like, well, I'll say from my experience, because I work part-time, on the weekends, I work for a jewelry company. I work in a little shop in Shoreditch, which
Love
is
storage.
a cool job. It's a really nice, well-known company, and the perks are great. But then sometimes I would find myself on the shop floor, like staring into the distance, like thinking about my life and the things that I actually want to do. And I just kept getting like more and more frustrated to the point where I wasn't pleasant to work around. I remember one of my colleagues told me, she was just like, "You're being a bit of a
Yeah,
bitch."
it's happening a
I don't know
bit.
if I'm allowed to swear on this. But she was like, "Yeah, you're always moaning. You're so moody all the time." And I realized it's because, like, as much as I liked the job, but like I kind of hated being there because I knew that I wanted to achieve more. Like, I know that I want to get to where I want to get to, and but I'm not there yet. So I'm here in this part-time job, which I kind of don't want to be in, and then it's just like this endless cycle because I need the money and da 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 da. But then I totally agree with that, because some people need to work long hours. Some people, like I don't think I could ever work a 9 to 5. I'm just not wired to work that way. I don't have the attention span to sit at a desk
Yeah,
for
in
long.
it.
Just doesn't I just can't do that. But for some people, that might be their bread and butter. They might need to work that job to make that salary so they can pay their bills or look after their family. Especially when you're young and you have a lot of responsibilities, it definitely can take a toll on you. And if you don't have many outlets, like I'm grateful that I have like good friends and families, and I'm quite creative, so I can always like think of something to do, or you know, entertain myself in some way. But some people might not have that, and they'll keep a lot of that tension within them, and that can definitely send you on a downward spiral, which isn't.
Yeah, that is literally so true. I think it's interesting, this kind of expectation versus reality, and you do just kind of have to laugh at it, because you just kind of think like, yeah man, yeah. And this whole like having, when people have set ages for like certain goals that are out of their reach. So I know someone that wants to be married by 27, you know, sorry, engaged by 27, married by 28, bought a house by 29. And it's just like, that's really sick, but life doesn't work like that. Like, you might not meet your soulmate or whatever until you're like 32, and that's not your fault. That's just, you know, life and coincidences and the way you meet people. And, you know, having goals like, I want to run a marathon by 25, that's great. But having goals where you're not in control of it is so, you can't, life is just too unpredictable, I think, in that sense.
Oh, miserable. I definitely, when I was like 15, 16, I was like, well, by 24 I hope to meet the love of my life,
yeah,
then we move in, and then I get a car, and then maybe I'll have a child by 28. There is no way that I'm having a child at 28.
Literally,
absolutely no way that I'm doing that. I just about like have my boyfriend, and I'm not moving out like anytime soon, and I'm really just going with the flow, really. So maybe I might have a kid at 30 or 35, but I'm no rush until I'm like financially stable and mentally stable, and I'm satisfied with my career before I even think about doing things like
that. I feel that completely. I think that's a really nice way to kind of wrap up part one, before we go on to kind of beating the crisis and how it's actually a really great thing. I thought I'd take the interlude to list some incredible podcasts around the Black Lives Matter movement that I've been finding really insightful, just in case any of you are looking for more resources. So for a look at the different opinions within the movement, check out About Race with Renee Edo Lodge. It's a really kind of sensitive, informed series of interviews and speakers about the movement in Britain. And it's really simple, but really extensive. And the amount that you learn is just a bit mind-blowing, to be honest. And then for a look at the history, BBC's documentary podcast, their newest episode, Black Lives Matter, The Story of a Slogan, looked at the hashtag, but they do it kind of like whilst they're also on the road through the US. And it's kind of just looking at how the hashtag has expanded, because it's actually been around for a few years now as a hashtag, but it looks at how it's expanded to like academia, politics, economics, and the Vox Pop interviews that they conduct along the way as well are just really, really insightful. And then for something with a kind of bit of a journalistic rigour, check out Code Switch, because there's no holding back, and they look at all the news and pop culture of what's going on through the perspective of Black journalists. There's many, many more, but these are just the ones I've listened to so far, and I'll continue to listen to more and to share more as well. And welcome back to part two of Navigating Your 20s, where I'm joined by the incredible Anna Marie, and we're talking all about the dreaded quarter life crisis. Now it's time for everyone's favourite part of the episode, that really deep, spiritual, meaningful time. It is the Funny Games Game Show.
I like the name.
Thank you so much. So, my love, your word on giving everyone some life advice about the quarter life crisis is... grandma.
Grandma?
As soon as I said it, I was like, what even do you say about that?
Live your life to the fullest. Live your life the way that you want to live it. Or else, when you're a grandma, you will regret not doing all the things that you wanted to do.
I love that. That's amazing. Okay. I should have said granddad as well. If you're grandma or granddad, like, you know, gender neutral. Amazing. I feel inspired by that. Thank you. So to take it in a different direction of overcoming the quarter life crisis, do you think it's actually a good thing when you go through this? Because surely it means that we're kind of not keen on settling, like less keen than previous generations anyway, and we want more and we expect more of our lives.
I definitely do think the quarter life crisis is a good thing. I mean, when you're going through it, you do feel like it's the end of the world. You do feel like so shitty about yourself. Oh my God, sorry, I keep swearing.
No, it's fine. But swear away.
But once you look at things from a different perspective, I mean, being in it, it's like, oh my God, you've got so much anxiety about life and are you going to make it and who you are and where you want to be and da da da. Mm. But once you come out on the other side and you look back and you're able to appreciate, you're able to appreciate that moment because it helps you evaluate things from a more mature mind state. Because when you're in the quarter life crisis, you're like, oh my God, I'm not sure if I can get that job. But then once you're out of it, you're like, no, I'm going to get it, but I'm aware that it might take me longer, or I'm aware that I might need to make more sacrifices to get there, or I'm aware that I need to do X, Y, and Z to get to that point. And it just helps you break things down. I think when you're younger, like we were just saying, you kind of have a very naive way of thinking, like, we're going to get this done by age 22, going to get this by age 25. But going through that, you realize that, you know, no, that is not, it's not, I mean, it's possible. If you want to get the fancy car and stuff, it's definitely possible if you work hard enough. But you know, there is no time frame to success. If you have goals and you have ambitions, you've just got to work on it every single day. And I think it makes you stronger because you're just able to take your time and see things for, you know, you're not in a rush to do things and achieve things. So I definitely, I'm grateful for going through the life crisis.
Yeah, definitely. I think the times where you're thinking, what the frick am I doing with my life, are actually times of where you're more open and curious and you grow a lot more. Because if you were just, you know, 25 and you're like, yeah, I'm happy, whatever, I'm settled, I think that's a bad thing, because you shouldn't I mean, if you want to settle, that's fine, but I think you should never settle for anything that you're just kind of meh about. You should constantly want more. And I think if you are going through a bit of a crisis, I think that's actually a great thing, because it means that you think, right, I can either achieve more, or I can earn more, or I could have a better boyfriend or a better girlfriend. And I think it's just you being aware of your potential. I hate that word, but, you know, it really is.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because I now see that, oh, you know, the opportunities are endless. Like, there's so many things that I can do. There's so many people that I can be. Like, I don't have to be the same girl that I once was. And it definitely, I think, pushes you to like come out of your comfort zone a little bit more. Because I would say maybe like 10 years ago, I was quite an introvert and a little bit shy. But now that I'm an adult, you kind of let go of all those things that were you were constricted by, or those internal doubts. You're an adult now. You don't really care about people's opinions.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? I think as you get older, you care less about what people think, because you just think, that person isn't keen on me, whatever. Like, it's none of my business. I'm going to live my life. You know, we're not friends anyway. You just kind of think, oh, do you know what? Like, you can't please everyone, and you can spend your life trying to, but it's just, it never works anyway. So you might as well just crack on.
I like that.
I found this theory that I'm just going to whack out there and see what you think of it. So it's by this guy Robert McNaughton, and on his podcast he basically talks about this thing called the postmodern integral theory, and he basically says that these times where we're asking ourselves these questions of what the heck is going on, he says that this actually just reflects this really healthy skepticism towards a kind of traditional worldview, and therefore we're kind of transcending limited thinking to achieve this kind of greater mindfulness. So I guess it's all about challenging the ideas that you've been given, and challenging this stereotype of like, you have to be married by 25, you know, and just spend your whole life in the same job and that sort of thing. And it's just about you being, well, actually, no, I'm going to do my own thing. And as soon as you've achieved that, you're living your best life.
Yeah, I agree with that. You're going to have to give me the name of the book and the theory.
Yeah, it's on. It's the Robert McNaughton podcast, and he talks about all sorts of stuff, and it's all psychology stuff, which I'm really into at the minute. So, yeah, I recommend.
I definitely have transcended, like, the norms or that the traditional ways of thinking, especially, like, I grew up in a Caribbean household, and I think with a Catholic, strict mother, there are certain things that, you know, she didn't approve of, some things that she believes, and that, you know, they pass on to their children. So subconsciously, like, I might have fears of certain things, but then going through that crisis, I think I realized that, no, like, I can do what I want. Like, I don't have to be scared of this. Like, the world is so much bigger than, you know, what my mom taught me to believe it is. And that's definitely helped me a lot, to just, like, break out and be like, you know, I'm here. I've arrived.
Yeah. I've arrived. I love that. I have arrived. Yeah, that's amazing. So, speaking about your family then, have they given you any, or just anyone you know, your elders, have they given you any advice on what the frick to do when you get this quarter life crisis vibe?
No, you know, not really. I haven't really asked or spoken to them about this. And, like, within my friendship group, I'm the eldest, so
they'll all be coming to you, like, Anna Marie, what's going on?
Yeah, so they're all coming to me, like, oh my god, I don't know what's going on, when because I experienced it first. But I think my dad is, he's very carefree as well. So he's just taught me to be a good person and to go for what I believe in. And, you know, they'll always be there to support me. And, yeah, just work hard. Being a hard worker will get you to where I want to get to in life. I think that's probably about it.
Yeah. I literally love that so much. A lot of people have just said to me, just especially people older than me, have just said, oh, do you know what? Just do what makes you happy. And that's what my parents have always stood by. And I think if I came home and I was like, I'm going to be a builder, they'd be like, good for you. Go and get high vis and crack on, you know. And my dad would probably be like, oh, well, the kitchen needs redoing, so you can crack on with that. And they're just like, do you know what? As long as you're happy, then we're happy. Like, it's always been about happiness. And I think when you're in the bubble of your 20s, it's harder said than done, because you can look back and go, oh, that didn't make me happy, I shouldn't have done that. But when you're in the moment, you're just doing what you think is right, aren't you? And you're just like, I should do this because it's the norm, or because it's the right thing to do, or the financially sensible thing to do. And it's hard to just go, well, I'm going to do this because it makes me happy. Peace and love.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
How do you think you beat the crisis then? How do you think... I don't know, how do you kind of think that going forward you're going to be like, I've got this, like, quiet the inner voice down and just chill the fuck out? How are you going to do it? What's your method?
I think I've, like, overcome the little quarter life crisis. I mean, sometimes I do have moments where I'm like, especially when it comes to, like, finances and wanting to move out, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. But I journal. Journaling is something that I've been doing a lot now. So I'm very big on, like, manifesting and power of mind. So I've written down, like, all my goals, and I try to visualize them, like, as much as possible. So I know that, you know, what I want, like, my little apartment and, like, my dream job, I know that it's all achievable because I've seen it in my head and I've written it down on my in my journal. But I think one thing I've learnt a lot now is to express how I feel, because I'm quite an internal person. So when I was going through the quarter life crisis, I was definitely doing it internally, like, having all these thoughts within myself, and it wasn't until maybe I was lashing out at work or whatever that it came out. But I've learned now that no, I need to express how I feel, if that means just talking to a friend or calling up my boyfriend or writing it in a journal or going for a run.
Oh my god, runs are amazing.
Exercise is my best friend now, because it just releases so much tension. It's great for the body as well. Like, even doing stretching and things like
engaging
with my body, really, really helps me get out of my head and just like clears my mind for an hour or so. So I'm not listening to like a little voice in my head. But like you said, the older we get, the more that we care less. And I definitely think that I care less about all the little things that I was maybe insecure about or worried about. And I'm ready. I'm ready to take on the world, and I'm a lot more confident now. And I'm just excited. I'm excited for the future. I'm always excited these days. I wake up so excited because I have so many like ideas and plans and things I want to execute. So I'm like, oh, when I do this, this is going to be great. So I'm trying to not, sometimes a little voice of doubt does pop up every now and again. And I'm like, oh my God, no one's going to like this. But I try to think about the positives and like the bigger impact that it could have on people's lives. Like the people who do care, the people who would like it, instead of thinking about, oh, no one's going to like it. You know, if four people don't like it, I'm sure maybe two people might like it.
Yeah.
And those are the people that matter. So, you know, just trying to flip situations in my head and just taking a lot more responsibility for my thoughts and not projecting that into my real world.
I love that. Yeah. And I've noticed as well, since I started this podcast, obviously it's all about your 20s and all of my friends are in their 20s. People are so much more open with what they're going through. And like, it's been really nice for me to just have a place to just get it all out and be like, what the fuck is going on? Ah, and just make light of it and use humour to kind of cope with it all, because it is funny and it is fine. In the grand scheme of things, you will be all right and we can all afford to chill out. And it's been nice having people that have listened and going, oh my God, I feel like that, or that thing you said about this, like, oh my God. And it's just so nice because we are all in the same boat. Like, we are all just navigating what the fuck is going on, and we will get there. It will be all right. This crisis is just a good thing that we need to live the life that we want, if that makes sense. To just kind of step up and do what you want in life and stop trying to please other people, I think, and get validation from that. I think as soon as you stop trying to get validation from things, you just give so much more like oomph, because you just you stop being like so cautious of how it's going to look, if that makes sense, I think.
I think we do, especially with like the social media generation, like people are constantly seeking validation. But once you, I mean, of course people want likes on their picture, that's fine, that's what Instagram is for. But knowing that believing in yourself should always come first, like you should always seek to tune in with yourself and think about what you truly want and how that makes you feel and the impact that you want to have before you seek that validation from someone else. Like, so, and sometimes talking to people is good, but then sometimes also not talking to people is good, because some people might tell you, oh no, you shouldn't do that, because you know they're limited by their own thoughts.
Yeah.
And then it might make you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that, but then you should. Like, if you feel in your heart to do it. I was watching today it was BeautyCon, and there's this lady called Jen Atkin. She makes, like, she's a hairstylist or something like that. And she was being interviewed, and she said when she first started out, she went to different companies like with her idea, and they all said, no, you're not famous enough, you shouldn't do this, you can't bring social media into like hair salons and things like that. And now she's like one of the biggest celebrity hairstylists ever, and she's got her own shampoo conditioner line.
Yeah,
and things
that's
like
the dream, isn't it?
And those were all the ideas that she had, but people told her no. So, and I was just really inspired by that. I'm like, I'm never gonna listen to anybody.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, another thing I think we can do is like a top tip is stop being afraid of the word no. Whether it's you saying no to things you don't want to do, or people saying no to you, because at the end of the day, like you said, they're limited by their own beliefs and their own opinions of, well, that won't work, or I've never seen anyone do that before. Like, sod it. If you want to do that, if you've got this idea, then just do it. Like, ain't nobody going to stop you doing your thing. Like,
no, really, really, truly. Like, if you feel like this is a great idea, then absolutely just go for it. Like, you see it now with, if you look at TikTok now, there's so many creative people like ideas that no one has ever thought of. Sometimes I watch these things and I'm like, how did you even think of this?
How did you do that?
But then that's literally someone just running with their own idea, and then it goes viral, and then so many people copy it and do their own version of it. Just do what makes you happy.
Yeah. This is really unrelated, but have you seen that TikTok of that guy being like, it looks like we'll be inside for a year? And then they'd be and then he's like, or maybe a day, a week, a month. It's really not clear. It's so funny. I'll send you the link after. It's so funny. Very relatable content. Yeah, and I think it's really about stopping comparing yourself to other people, isn't it? We all do it. And, you know, there's no comparison really, because it's like comparing a cat to a dog. They're different. How can you do that? I mean, we do it anyway. We've all got our opinion. I prefer dogs, but but it's kind of like, how can you compare your life to someone else's when you want different things, and therefore you're going to be doing different things, kind of thing?
Yeah, you can't. Like, comparison is the theft of joy. Like, once you start looking at other people's lives and what they're doing, like, and I can admit, like, I've definitely done that. Like, looked at some of my peers and been like, oh, but they got that opportunity and they're doing this and they're doing that and I want to do that, and then just making myself sad because you know, I don't have 10,000 followers, or because, you know, I'm not getting to work with like the big companies I want to work for. But then going through the quarter life crisis taught me that in my own time I'm going to get my own opportunities, and there's no competition. Like, as much as everyone's going for the same job, there's no competition. Just focus on me, focus on being the best that I could be, and congratulating people when they get those jobs and those opportunities, because they probably worked hard for it.
Yeah, oh, I literally love that. Just to finish off, I just want to whack out this that I found, I think, on Wikipedia. So you know it's reliable. Millennials have actually occasionally been referred to as, I love this, the boomerang generation or the Peter Pan generation, because of delaying some rites of passage into adulthood for longer periods than previous generations, which, you know, I definitely agree with. But, you know, if we're the Peter Pan generation, then, you know, good for us. I'm vibing that, and I'm happy to be a part of a generation that clings on to childhood.
I think so. I agree with that. I feel like I am clinging on to my youth a little bit. The more that I think about it, I'm like, yeah, I definitely am still young in some ways, even though I'm a lot more mature. But I'm, you know, I'm down with the kids.
Yeah,
still want to have fun. I don't want to be old to like yet. I don't want to be a mom yet. I just want to like enjoy my life.
Yeah, I feel that completely. Yeah, and I think it's really about just chatting to yourself how you would chat to a best friend, isn't it? Because the way I speak to myself sometimes, and the way I hold myself to such high standards and expectations, I would never speak to a best friend like that in a million years. Like, my mates do one cool thing and I'm like, oh my god, you're amazing, oh my god, I'm so proud of you. And then myself, I'm like, yeah, whatever, move on. Like, so you just have to be kind to yourself, don't you? I think and stop being your own worst critic. Definitely.
Yeah, that's true. And also another thing, like, being in the moment, being present.
Yes.
In the moment, and really enjoying the things that, you know, are happening right now. Like you just said, like, you move on to the next opportunity. That's something that I do. Like, I'm always looking forward, like, okay, what can I do next and what can I do next? But sometimes let's just enjoy what I'm currently doing and focus on this and embracing this, because I'm never going to get this moment again before I start thinking about the 10 million other things that I want to do.
Yeah. And we'll all look back, won't we, and just remember our 20s as this amazing, fun time where we could go out until 4 and not be hungover. Well, be hungover, but still have a good time. And we had all these friends and we had a hot body and we didn't have wrinkles on our foreheads. And we're going to look back and think, oh God, I wish I'd have just enjoyed it more and worried less. Yeah, I'm going great.
I'm trying to use an anti-aging cream because I am not with it.
Well, it's working a treat. Your skin looks lovely. But yeah, I think we just need to stop panicking and just enjoy being young and being carefree and not having a kid. Unless you have a kid. Good for you.
but I'm not going to do that anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, listen, my love, thank you so much for joining me today. And just to finish off, could you tell everyone, if they want to watch your amazing show live with Anna Maria, how do they go about this?
Well, you can follow me on, sorry, I don't know why I said it like that. at Anna Marie Descartes. So I'm sure, like,
I'll tag you.
Insert it there. So it's at Live with Anna Marie on Instagram. And then you can search me on YouTube. Same name, same platform, Anna Marie Descartes and Live with Anna Marie. There's two separate channels. And yeah. Oh, I've got an Instagram Live every Friday at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Performance game. So yeah, be sure to check that
out. Yeah. And in normal situations, you can get a ticket, can't you, to actually go and see the show in London?
Yeah,
the show. Yeah, obviously at the minute. Everything's online, which is still great. But yeah, thank you so much for joining me. I've learnt a lot. I've had a nice time. It's been nice to vent about what the fuck is going on with you.
No, thanks for having me. I loved it. This was so fun.
Aww.
And I hope I learned a lot too. And I hope you send me that podcast because I'm definitely going to go listen to it.
Oh, I will. I'll link you. But yeah, thank you so much. And thank you everyone for listening. And we'll see you next time on Navigating Your 20s. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. If you've had a nice time, please do subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a topic that you want us to navigate together, just let me know. And why not binge all the other episodes? Give us a follow at Navigating Your 20s Podcast on Instagram and Facebook to stay up to date. And see you next time on Navigating Your 20s.